Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hello, Badger fans, and welcome to another edition of Bucky's Fifth Podcast. As always, Tyler Hunt and Matt Bells here covering everything Wisconsin athletics. On today's show, we've got some news to get into on both basketball and football fronts. We'll touch on that first, and then we'll get into our regular weekly preview of the upcoming opponent. Of course, this week being the Michigan Wolverines, we'll talk about the Wisconsin offense. Of course, the defense, players to watch, same sort of basis and outline that we've been doing for each of the past few weeks as Wisconsin gets ready for another big contest in Camp Randall against the Michigan Wolverines. In the back half of the show, we have Anthony Broom of Maize and Brew on the show. He's been on the last few years to discuss and give us an insider look on the Michigan Wolverines. Always does a great job in that regard. Always enjoy talking to him and getting an insider, an honest look at the Wolverines. I think Badger fans, who I'll give you a little teaser. He says there's some hope for Wisconsin fans in maybe winning this game. So at least we're getting an insider prediction that maybe things aren't all bleak and doom and gloom as it feels right now. So we'll get into all of that. But before we do that, we've got to announce our sponsor once again with Home Field Apparel. If you guys remember, a few months back, they were doing their big noon Saturday kickoff. They had a Wisconsin line that they sponsored our podcast for the week as they rolled out that new line of merch. And they're back once again to sponsor our podcast. So make sure to go check them out over at homefieldapparel.com. They just wrapped up Big Noon Saturday Season 2. I believe their last school. They do a new school each week. I believe it's been going for the last 16 weeks. The latest school was the USC Trojans. So make sure to go check that out, guys. They dig through the archives of some really cool retro logos to find some really cool T-shirts and sweatshirts and crew necks to put together. Like I said, they just dropped USC. They've got Wisconsin in there. They have Michigan in there. They had LSU, Notre Dame, all sorts of schools for this past season. I've said it a couple times on the show. Probably the softest T-shirts and sweats I own. I was looking through the closet today of just which one to throw on. It's that perfect time of year, football weather, taking the dog outside. Throw on your home field hoodie and be good to go on your morning walk. So make sure to check them out once again at homefieldapparel.com. All right, Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, no, I think Home Field, great stuff. Have a bunch of their gear and just really go check them out. But overall, I'm just excited because this is another opportunity to see what this Badger team is. And I'm glad that it's actually against a really good team, like, or at least on paper, a really good team instead of a team like Eastern Michigan, where we clearly weren't able to see much of anything from this team. Instead, we're thrown right back into another top 25 matchup. Even though the Badgers aren't there, Michigan clearly is at number 14. So I think this is a good test for the Badgers and a big opportunity for hopefully them to right their wrongs.
Yeah, no time to rest on what was a poor performance this past Saturday. Put it to bed and hopefully move on to a huge, another top 25 matchup, as you said. Before we get into that contest, a little bit of news to get to on the basketball front. You guys, you want to give a rundown to the listeners on what's been going on over there?
Yeah, so if people are averse to getting a kick to the special parts right now, buckle up, because the basketball team also lost out on a huge recruit. Braden Huff, one of their top prospects, they've been on him for a long time. There was crystal ball activity in favor of the Badgers. He ended up committing to Gonzaga. I mean, it's hard to fault a kid for doing that. He is out of Illinois, so Wisconsin that was a little bit closer. But at the same time, the development and the play of Gonzaga the past few years is hard to beat. So I think you're looking at a kid really talented. Big loss for the Badgers in that 2022 class. However, I do think now it is interesting that they're going to be able to roll probably a scholarship over to the 2023 group, an extra one, and just in the nick of time because they do have another Illinois kid, Owen Freeman, coming in this weekend for an official visit. That's been out there for a while that he was planning to do that. 6'10 power forward, got some really good offers. So this isn't a layup that the Badgers have. He is very talented and would be a really good addition. Fits Wisconsin's scheme almost perfectly, given his ability to go inside out. But he's taking an official visit for this weekend. They've got a couple other younger players that are going to be on unofficial visits as well. So I think this is a big weekend for Greg Gard and his staff to hopefully make a move in Freeman's recruitment and some of the younger 2024 guys. Hopefully they can get off on the right foot as basketball season is just around the corner here.
It's so close. I know Drew was messaging about some of our preseason basketball stuff, and it's hard to even wrap your head around what that season will be when you're so entrenched in what's going on with football. But, of course, a tough blow on the Braden Huff front, a player, like you mentioned, crystal ball activity for the Badgers. Seemed like a really good fit, but when Gonzaga comes a-calling, it's hard to turn that offer down, and with where Wisconsin's at, it's certainly hard to fault a kid to going out west and playing there. So a lot of activity for the basketball team going on right now. As like you mentioned, that season will be tipping off before you know it, and the college basketball season will be underway. We've also got some football news to touch on. A four-star running back, Jaden Ott, was offered out of the 2022 group. He is out of Norco, California, previously a commit to Cal, recently decommitted from them. Right now, there is a crystal ball prediction in there for Oregon. A lot of West Coast teams involved in him, but most of the teams on his 247 page listed as cool, but a very strong offer list of Oregon, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Georgia, USC, UNLV, Utah, and, of course, Washington State, and then Wisconsin recently getting involved there. Makes a ton of sense to throw out an offer for a player like that when you think about the situation with the Wisconsin running back room right now, of course, with two running backs from the previous classes, of course, being dismissed in Antoine Roberts and Loyal Crawford. So certainly going to be looking for bodies there. Very good offer list, a four-star kid. So it makes a ton of sense for Wisconsin to be in on that. What do you think of that offer?
I love it. I think you look at his film and it really pops. He's a very fast and twitchy athlete. He kind of glides in a long strider when he's going, but he runs and he can really rip off some big plays, which I think is something that this team desperately needs at times. That Oregon crystal ball is from a long time ago. I think it was like 2020, 2019. So I think the biggest thing right now is nobody really knows what the competition is for this kid just based off of he's been committed since July. Has a boatload of offers on the table immediately. Teams have started to fill up over the summer, so you wonder who's all interested. He recently picked up another offer from USC as well after he decommitted, so it'll be interesting to see how involved the Trojans are, but they've got a lot of things going on in the back end there. I think this is an offer that I like a lot. I hate not taking a running back, a wide receiver, a quarterback, anything offensive in those three spaces. You need athletes year in and year out just because you don't know how you're going to get hit with the injury bugs, just roster turnover in general, as well as if guys don't pan out. I mean, we've seen what's going on at quarterback right now, and I've brought that up so many times. But I think that this is a nice offer, and I do think this is the right move to get involved with a talented running back. And hopefully they can close him out because I do think that he is a difference maker, and he brings something a little different to this room that they don't have in terms of a home run threat. And he's not very big, but at the same time, he's got wheels and quickness that you just can't teach, and I think that this team could desperately use.
Yeah, you certainly are looking for bodies there, but you also want to make sure that you're still bringing in, you know, players with some serious talent. He looks to be a kid that has that, highly rated, and like you mentioned, you want to take some of these guys in every sort of class, with the numbers being a little bit down in terms of that running back room. with all that off-field situation, it makes a ton of sense to hop into a player that seems like right now recruitment is pretty wide open, and hopefully Wisconsin can give him their best pitch as they move forward here with this 2022 group. All right. With that, you ready to get into this Wisconsin-Michigan matchup?
Let's do it, man.
All right, let's start, I guess, on the that Wisconsin offense that we love to talk about. Of course, last week, a tough week for the offense and everyone involved. I know this week has hopefully been a chance for them to clean some of that stuff up. A lot of turnovers, we all know. I don't think we need to dig too far deep into this, but they'll be going against a Michigan defense that has looked pretty good, of course, led up front by a player by the name of Aiden Hutchinson, banged up last year, but has came back to Michigan and been just an absolute freak for them. I think Michigan defensively has been pretty good at every level. Like, they don't do anything, like, amazing. They don't stand out in just one area. I think all three levels of them under this new defense has been pretty solid across the board. So, given that, given what Wisconsin and the struggles has been, where do you think this offense just attempts to go against, once again, another really solid Michigan defense?
I think they can run the ball on this team. You look at it, rush defense, they're 60th in the country, 10th in the Big Ten. Last year, the Badgers just absolutely gashed them on the ground. And I know that this is not the exact same team as it was last year, but you look at this and you have to think, if you can do some of those things well, you should be able to move the ball on them. We know that right now the biggest thing is turnovers. Wisconsin is 130th out of 130 teams in terms of turnover margin, which is just a disastrous recipe at negative 2.33 per game. That's crazy to even think about, especially when you consider the fact that against Eastern Michigan they only had the one, right? So, like, you're really looking at quite a few turnovers in the biggest games, and Michigan on the other end is plus one. So I think the big thing for the Badgers is not turn the ball over. And I know that's simple because given the quarterback situation, it's not quite as simple, but I think this offensive line is going to have their chance for redemption and maybe can move the ball. Last year, the Badgers really killed Michigan with the jet sweep a lot. They had 341 yards on the ground total, 105 by wide receivers on jet motion. We haven't seen it a lot this year. I'm hoping they bring it back because you need to test this team horizontally and try to get players out of the box. And that's been killer for this offensive line. But really, I just think that this is more about, can Wisconsin do anything? Can they have a pulse on offense to have a shot to beat Michigan? That's the biggest thing for this offense, is just do the simple things and do them well and execute and don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, I think that's the huge part, is don't turn the ball over. Just try and hold on to it long enough to at least give yourself a fighting chance and try not to put that strong unit, that defensive unit that's been so good, in negative situations. Because I think if you can do that, you know, you can certainly – hang on and stay competitive in this game. I like what I was looking at stats and seeing what Cade McNamara has done for Michigan. You know, been a guy that's completed 62% of his passes and not turned the ball over. Three touchdowns, zero interceptions. I think if you look at Wisconsin's offense, you'd sign up for that in a heartbeat based on where they're at right now, because you're likely looking at this team being 3-0 if they get some sort of production similar, even close to that, would be a huge mark for them. So I do agree with you. I think the running game can be there. I'm interested to see where we're settled at with the offensive line. I know, once again, I think both you and I have a voice that we're a little frustrated with this now, probably you're going to be going into week five, and I'd venture to guess that you're going to see a good amount of rotation at the offensive line positions once again, which I don't think is a recipe that we both agreed that this isn't really a recipe that's going to work. So does that hinder the run game? And then, like you said, can you find any semblance of a pulse to at least move the ball, keep yourself at least in manageable positions to hopefully strike? Because I think we both know this game is going to be some sort of rock fight, but can Wisconsin hang around and put up enough points to at least keep themselves in the game and try and win this and pull this out is really going to be the storyline. I don't know if there's one sort of X and O thing you can point to really that's going to be the key. It's just going to be a matter of hanging onto the ball and trying to do enough to keep them really in this game.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at X's and O's, it's do the can a quarterback for the Badgers, whether it's Graham Mertz, Chase Wolfe, Danny Vandenboom, name them, right? Can they do enough in the passing game and do enough in getting the ball to the backs to help this team move the ball and consistently do it and not limit this team? Because that's been the really just the Achilles heel of this team all year long is the limitations of the quarterback position, whether it be in terms of the playbook, whether it be in terms of footwork, whether it be in terms of getting the ball and spreading it out to weapons. What do you think right now is the chances that we see a quarterback not with the number five on at some point in this Michigan game?
I would think right now it's at least going into it. I think it's relatively low, but if you're having the same sort of turn, if you're turning the ball over left and right once again, I think at that point you're forced to at least make a switch. I know everybody, you look at Chase Wolfe, I believe 12 career pass attempts, three of them have been picked off. So it's not all of a sudden going to be that much better, but I think just for if it gets to be that situation, and please God, let's hope it doesn't get to that point again. But at some point, if the ball just continually ends up in Michigan's hands, you almost have to make a switch just to sit Graham Mertz down and say, just to give him a breather, get some confidence, because I think last week the end there might have really hurt his chances to develop further and maybe dug them a little bit deeper of a hole. So I don't think it'll happen because I can't imagine these turnover numbers are going to continue. I have to hope and pray that these things are going to get cleaned up, but we still have to see it. So I'd say going in relatively low, but that percentage will skyrocket if Wisconsin is being careless with the football. So where would what number would you put it at?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's low going into it, but at the same time, I agree. If there's, even if it's like a turnover, like an early turnover, I just don't see a situation where you can just keep rolling with Mertz. I think just for the team continuity's sake, you have to make a switch and you have to try something different. No matter who you're putting out there in that situation, just because you run the risk of losing your locker room in a lot of ways, just where, think of any other player, right? Like, think of Phaon Hicks in that game last weekend. If he had gotten burnt on a bunch of passes, wasn't playing well, he probably wouldn't be out there, right? Like, Daron Harrell sure hasn't been playing a whole lot lately after he was burnt quite a bit early in that 2019 season. So you look at it as, if there is going to be accountability at other positions, there needs to be it at the quarterback position too. Even if you're going to a guy who's probably not going to do anything better, right? Like, even if that guy maybe even gives you a less chance to win the game, it sends a message at this point when you're looking down the barrel of 1-3, you got to try something. And if Wolf knows the whole playbook and Mertz is still struggling, you got to try it. You got to try something different. Or even if it's Danny Vandenboom, dude's been in the program now for 5 years. So you would hope that point is down as well. So I'm interested to see how quick that hook is or if there is one at all. But I do think that if things are going south quickly, I think you have to make some sort of attempt at a change.
Yeah, I think last week the hook it was clear it wasn't in play. I think this coming into this week, it's the chances are low right now, but the hook is very much going to be looming over Camp Randall Stadium if things go completely haywire once again. And I think you make a great point about the locker room and accountability. That goes a long ways in the rest of the season. We are still very early in this thing, and there's time to right the ship, but you can't continue to have the offensive play that you've had throughout these first 3 weeks. All right. Now that that's out of the way, talking about this Wisconsin offense, let's transition a little bit to this Wisconsin defense. Going to be going up against probably the best test that they've faced yet this season in terms of a rushing attack. Michigan, a very strong run offense, ran the ball, I believe, on 74% of their plays. So They're going to try and run it, but they're going to be going up against their biggest test as well. On the road for the first time this season, but against a Badger defense that currently ranks first in total defense, second in rushing defense. I personally expect this defense to completely do the same thing. I do think this Michigan attack is much better than what they were last year because of, again, you can't really read all that much from last year, but I don't know if they've quite faced a Wisconsin defensive line and defensive front like this. So I personally think it's going to be a recipe of taking away the run and making Cade McNamara, who hasn't had to throw a ton, beat you in this game. So that's at least where I think it's going to end up being the matchup that you watch for. But how do you think the Badger defense approaches this matchup with Michigan?
Absolutely, man. They're just going to sell out on the run and make Cade McNamara beat them. Like, I think that's the recipe. You look at it, and that's what Rutgers did. And Rutgers does not have the defense that the Badgers have, and they held Michigan to 2.9 yards a crack on the ground. So it's not like this team has put up the gaudiest numbers when there's been a little bit better competition. So I think that Wisconsin's defense will keep them in this game as much as they humanly can and be able to stop the run. Blake Corum has really had a solid year this year, and I think he's a phenomenal talent that can do a lot of really good things. But like you mentioned, this is a team in Michigan that has only played at home and has really taken advantage of Western Michigan, Northern Illinois. That Washington game was not pretty either. But really, I think their two-headed monster of Corum, Haskins, is going to get fed quite a bit. But I do think that Jim Leonard is going to try to make Cade McNamara beat them. And he's shown that he can move the ball through the air, and they do have some weapons. Even after Bell went down with the injury, I think there's still talent in that room. But it's still one of those things where I think – you trust your secondary here, and you have to just sell out to stop this running game and say, hey, what else do you got, Michigan?
Yeah, I think that's the only way to do it. You know, you look at this, you have that strength in your pocket of this run defense, and you're going against a quarterback that has played well in the limited role he's done, but you're stepping into, I think that the biggest advantage is you're stepping into a stadium that is going to be no longer in your favor. It's a huge comfort to play in the Big House, but playing in Camp Randall, it's a completely different story. We've seen it despite last year, Wisconsin won in Ann Arbor in a weird type of game, but this series that's been going on, you know, since 2016, the home team has fared very well in these contests. So I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing even the Badgers, despite their poor play, being a slight favorite as you get into later in the week. So I think you're going to sell out against the strength that they've had, and it's really going to come down to, for both defenses or both offenses, which quarterback is able to make some plays. And so far, Cade McNamara has made the plays he's been asked to, but I'm sure Michigan fans are going to need to see something more as the competition and the tests get a little bit bigger. So I'm thinking that Wisconsin's going to be the same thing. I mean, last week they went into this game, completely shut down the run, took away Kyron Williams, and made the various Notre Dame quarterbacks beat them. And for three quarters, Wisconsin kept it pretty well in check. It's just a matter of, can they finish out that fourth quarter, which, of course, we talked about last episode, is something that has not done very well for the Badgers. So we've really just got to see it. There's no more other than that. You just need to see it unfold on the field for a full 60 minutes.
Absolutely. The Badgers have lost two out of their last three at home, right? Camp Randall was a place that was one of the tougher places to play in the country. And it hasn't been, even this year, like you look at it, the fans have come out and been loud, been active, been there early for both games. So this is something that this is a pride game in a lot of ways for this Badger team. And I think that really if they come out flat and if they don't play well in this game, it's going to be really frustrating for a lot of fans, and even more frustrating, I should say, for a lot of fans when you consider the fact that they're doing their part, fans are doing their part, and really the defense is doing their part. And you just got to hope that this offense can just get things going, because I do think that this defense for Badgers is extremely good and is going to be able to keep them in this game throughout. I just think Jim Leonard's got this team or this defense rolling at a point where there's not as much to worry about, especially when they're the number one ranked rush defense in the entire country. And now it's just a matter about the other phases of this game.
Speaking of that, with the matchups that you're going to see from both sides of the ball, what is maybe a key matchup or thing you'll be watching for as you approach Saturday?
I mean, number one is just turnovers. But the main thing for me is, can the Badgers offensive line keep Aiden Hutchinson from making the big play? Because we look at it, and Mertz has had some crucial fumbles in the first couple weeks here that have really hurt them. And there's no doubt about that whatsoever. And this pass pro has not been phenomenal at times. And specifically, you look at, like, Tyler Beach here. Can he match up with Aiden Hutchinson and keep him off of Mertz? Because if you're looking at a rock fight where it was probably going to be low scoring, what's going to swing a game is the special teams, the turnovers, and things like that put your offense in a position where it's like, hey, you can't mess this up. So can this offensive line protect Mertz in a way that at least gives them a fighting chance? I think is, for me, the matchup. It is Aiden Hutchinson versus this line in so many ways. And I know that that's simplified, but you look at it in – Michigan has 6.5 sacks this year, and Aiden Hutchinson has 5.5 of them, right? Like this is, or I should say, Michigan has 7 sacks this year. Aiden Hutchinson has 5.5 of them. So there's one guy that they really need to circle here, and if they can keep him off the quarterback, it tremendously helps your chances everywhere else, and it can hopefully open up your passing game, which will in turn open up your rushing game and force Michigan to not be able to stack 8-9 in the box and dare you to pass.
Yeah, I think that's the matchup for the offense that you've got to watch for. I mean, the huge part of this Wisconsin offense conversation is the turnovers, but that's not really a matchup that you can look for. But there are players, a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, that can cause these type of havoc plays and tackle for losses and get in there to all of a sudden make these turnovers happen or make an opposing offense much more prone to them. So I think that's one key matchup that you certainly have to keep an eye on. To flip sides for the defense, it's going to be, can Wisconsin make Cade McNamara, similar, it's kind of a similar thing. It's going to be whichever defense can make the opposing quarterback have fits, and whichever quarterback can hopefully make some plays and keep their offense in the game. I don't expect this game to be anything different than what we've seen against Penn State and Notre Dame, that low-scoring rock fight where you're just trying to hang on and make sure that you don't make the mistakes. I think right now, Wisconsin fans, you hear that and you think, well, crap, we're in a tough situation because there's been a lot of mistakes made. But hopefully, some of those numbers regress to the means and Wisconsin can clean that up. I'm not holding my breath, but it's going to come down to whichever quarterback can try and avoid the disruption and keep their team ahead of the chains and moving these drives, taking some clock off and eventually turning that into points, because we've seen it time and time again. Wisconsin, while they have moved the ball sometimes and gotten into positive field position, they've shot themselves in the foot by turning the ball over. So it's going to come down to who can probably make less mistakes. And Wisconsin's made a lot of them. Michigan's the only team in the country that has not had a turnover offensively yet. So they haven't made a ton of them, but there's still time. And I know this Wisconsin defense will be looking to make some of those havoc plays and hang on and hopefully give themselves maybe some offensive positive field position would be certainly a nice thing to see.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely help this offense out a lot. And I think another big thing is just special teams. Like, can special teams give the offense a little bit of help? And I know that Chandler had a couple nice returns. One got called back because of a hold or block in the back. I can't remember which one it was. But you look at this, and he gives you a little bit something back there. I want to just – hope that the punt return can help them out and that the field goal kicking continues to be strong. It's going to be a wet game, so fielding the ball in as a return man, as well as making sure to wrap up in tackling is going to be so crucial when you look at the current forecast of rain. So I think there's a lot of different pieces here that give the Badgers a chance. They've won 6 out of the last 9, but there's still a lot of a lot of warts on this team in general.
Yeah, and it's really, those warts are things you can preview and look at the matchups, but those are things you really can't account for in terms of special teams glimpses or, struggles and of course, offensive turnovers. Those are things you just don't really plan for, but hopefully they can avoid it. And if they do, you got to feel at least a little bit better about where this team is at and where the game is going. So to move into our annual stuff that we do every week, let's go ahead and talk about players we'll be talking about come Sunday. I think every week you can say it's probably Graham Mertz, because if he plays well, you're going to be talking about that. And if he plays poorly again, maybe you're talking about Chase Wolf, like we mentioned at the beginning, because maybe there's a switch there. But who are some names that you think Wisconsin will be talking about, or Wisconsin fans will be talking about come Sunday?
I'm going to go with Danny Davis. I think that he makes a play to really help out this passing game. He's had some phenomenal catches this year. You look at it, and I know it gets overlooked simply because he's had to make some of these catches based off of inaccuracies from the quarterback. But you look at it, and he's having a pretty good year right now, both statistically speaking, but also in terms of his contribution to this team. And I think that he's going to have an opportunity, because I do think Michigan's going to pack the box, dare Wisconsin to pass the ball. I do think that Danny Davis is going to make a play. He doesn't have a touchdown this year. He's looked pretty solid this season. I think that he's going to make a play to help this team out in a major way, because I do think they're going to be able to run the ball, but I think a lot of it is still going to have to come down to what happens outside against Michigan's cornerbacks and Graham Mertz's ability to get it to his weapons.
I like that pick a lot. I'm going to go on a similar wavelength, and I'm going to say tight end Jake Ferguson. Haven't seen too much from him, but it is Barry Alvarez Day. He's the grandson. He's going to make a play. He's going to have something. And I think maybe throughout this week, they'll hopefully emphasize Graham Mertz. Part of it is he's been a focal point for opposing defenses. It's been hard to get him open. And the one read pass offense right now, it makes that a little bit tough. But I think he's a guy that could make a splash in this game in front of the home crowd and in front of Grandpa as he gets his honoree. So it just seems like the lineup there pretty well for Jake Ferguson. But, yeah, I think it's a similar wavelength of needing something in this pass offense, needing one of these guys to rely on, but you also have to be able to get them the ball. So it'll be interesting to watch for there. In terms of the defense, any guy particular you got your eye on, or is it just this unit is going to be just as good as it's been all season long and really just a collective effort from all of them?
I'm going to go with Matt Henningsen. I think he's a guy that doesn't necessarily get the credit that he deserves throughout his career. So far, he's already got 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. Right, he's been very active in this defensive front. And I think the same could be said from Benton. But I think that Benton, you see the physical tools there, that just the freak that he can be. And so people usually will gravitate towards him. But I think that combination inside is going to have a nice – game against this Michigan front. They're going to be called upon frequently to stop the run. So I'm going to go with Henningsen. I think he's primed for a big game and a guy that I think really is very deserving. I know he was put up for an award just today. I think he's very deserving of plenty of recognition that he doesn't necessarily always get.
Yeah, I like those picks a lot. Both of those two have been excellent all season long. I think for me, I'm going to go with Nick Herbig. I think Michigan, I said it earlier, is a team that hasn't had an offensive turnover. I think Nick Herbig's going to be a guy that gets in there, gets a quarterback hurry. I think this defense is going to get some sort of big turnover that really swings some momentum, gets them in positive field position. We've been waiting for it. I know in that Penn State game, that Notre Dame game, when I was with my family, we all kind of turned to each other and said, man, we really could use a turnover or maybe not a pick six. Doesn't have to be a scoop and score, but just something to get this offense in positive field position. So I'm going to say Nick Herbig comes off the edge and makes a big play to spark this Wisconsin and get them some momentum and confidence as they move forward here and try to put some points on the board offensively. But I think all the players that we mentioned will be guys that you're hoping to have big performances from, because if you do, you're feeling good about the end result of this game. And speaking of the end result, what do you think is going to be your score prediction for this week?
This is a tough game. Drew tweeted out, you know, the fighting of neither team thinks they're going to win this game based off of a lot of different factors. But you look at this, and I keep coming back to the fact that if Wisconsin doesn't turn the damn ball over, they're probably 3-0, right? Like, you just look at the numbers, and they were had a chance against Penn State multiple times in the red zone, fumbles, all sorts of miscues, interceptions. You look at the Notre Dame game, same song and dance. Turnovers absolutely killed them. And they were leading in the fourth quarter. So I look at this and you think, Wisconsin got a shot, right? Like, this is still a team that is a couple breaks their way away from being 3-0. They still have a chance to win the West. I doubt that comes to fruition, but at the same time, it's a possibility if they can turn things around. So I hope that the Badgers win, but based off of what we've seen this season, I can't go with the Badgers. I'm going to go with Michigan because, while I don't necessarily trust what Michigan has done this year, I don't necessarily trust Cade McNamara as a quarterback, I still think that this defense of Michigan is vulnerable and not nearly as far removed from the struggles that they were last year under Don Brown. But right now, it's hard for me to say that Graham Mertz isn't going to have those turnovers and that the special teams isn't going to have those blunders and it's not going to be the same story on repeat. Right now, time's a flat circle for this team, and hopefully they can change that. And I think this is a week that if they do, it could propel them to better things the rest of the way. But maybe it's an anti-jinx, but I'm going with Michigan right now, and I think it's Michigan close.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think right now you're once again looking at probably a repeat in some way, shape, or form of the other two games, you know, not counting the Eastern Michigan one that you've seen so far. 11 o'clock kick, most likely a rock fight. Hopefully Wisconsin can hang on to the ball, but we haven't seen it quite yet, and until we do, it's hard to pick that way. So I think the optimistic side of me thinks Wisconsin, you know, somehow bounces back, finds a way to win this game like 17-14, but I could very much see that inverse and Wisconsin, you know, the defense keeps them in it, but Wisconsin once again struggles, shoots themselves in the foot, and they just fall short once again. Because like you mentioned, if they hang on to the ball, they probably win this game or win the last two contests with Notre Dame and Penn State that way. So until we see it, you can't really buy into it, but I'll go with my optimistic side for now, and we'll go 17-14 Wisconsin in another just disgusting football game. But I think eventually these turnover numbers and issues have to regress to the mean, and I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed that this is the week that it happens.
I love it. You keep it super positive. I'll just be super dark over here and just continue to think that it might be more of the same. I hope it's not. This Badger team has plenty of talent. This is a team that, like I said, should be there. Like, there's just – they've got to figure it out. And it comes down to executing across all three phases of the game. If they can do that, a win is within grasp in this game, especially the way that they've played Michigan the past few years.
Absolutely. All right, well, that wraps up our Wisconsin and Michigan preview for our portion. So we'll go ahead and run down now through our Big Ten picks real quick. Friday night, a huge contest, undefeated Maryland playing host to undefeated Iowa. Should be a ton of fun to tune into that one in somewhat of a standalone game. Who do you like in that?
Give me Maryland. I think right now you look at it and Tagovailoa might be one of the top two, three quarterbacks in
Dark horse. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that somebody had put, who was it that put him in their top five? And I was like, okay, let's not get too carried away here. But I do think that he's one of the better quarterbacks in the Big Ten. They have weapons outside to throw to in terms of Demas Jr. So I think this is a team that can score on Iowa. Iowa has not been particularly good on offense, so I'm going to go with the team that has the better quarterback in here, and that's at home. So I think Maryland is going to pull off the upset.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think this Iowa team has gotten incredibly lucky in terms of forcing turnovers, getting points off turnovers. I think this offense, similar to Wisconsin's, stinks, flat out stinks. And I think this Maryland offense has enough to use those weapons on the outside and pull off an upset. So I really like the Maryland Terps to pick up a huge program-changing type of win against the Hawkeyes on Friday night. All right, moving on down, Minnesota traveling to Purdue. Oh, my God, what a gross game. Of course, the Gophers trying to bounce back from a tough, tough loss to Bowling Green. Who do you like in an 11 a.m. battle of the sickos between Minnesota and Purdue?
Yeah, 11 a.m. kicks in the Big Ten this week are, wow, they are sickening. But I think Purdue. I'm going to go with the Boilermakers at home. They just were able to eke by Illinois. I mean, I don't know if you saw that, but 13-9, like, if Purdue can muck up another one and get a W, I would not be surprised. But I'm going to go with the Boilermakers.
I think you could toss this game either way and be right 9 times out of 10. I'm going to go with Minnesota just simply because the loss last week, you would have to think, motivates them a little bit to try and bounce back against a Purdue team that really has been good defensively, but nothing. This game is going to be, I mean, I think Michigan-Wisconsin is going to be a rock fight, but that game might be absolutely horrendous. So I will go with Minnesota right now. All right, up next, we've got another 11 a.m. kick. We've got Illinois taking on Charlotte. Of course, the Illinois 1-4 on the season after a strong start against Nebraska. Who do you like there?
Don't forget that this Charlotte team is 3-1. They took down Duke, right? Like, so this isn't like a terrible Charlotte team. They're not great. But I'm going to go with Illinois. I think that they're going to do just enough to get a win and move on to a second win of the season.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I think you've got to at least hope that, you know, their expectations were a lot higher for this Illinois team, and so far they have not quite met that, but this would be a nice win for them to try and bounce back in that regard. All right, now we get into the 2:30 slate. We've got Ohio State traveling to Rutgers, battle of 3-1 teams. Who do you like there?
I think this is all Ohio State. I think Rutgers will keep it a little closer than people might expect, but I still think that Ohio State's going to be able to pull away from the Scarlet Knights.
I would have to agree with you. I think Rutgers tries to hang along with it. They hung okay in the second half with Michigan, but I think Ohio State is still just too talented of a team to fall in that spot. All right, now we get into the nightcap, a couple night games in there. We've got first up, we'll do Indiana and Penn State. Of course, a thrilling game last year. Who do you like here?
Do you happen to know what the spread is for that game?
That is currently at Penn State laying 13 to the Hoosiers.
Penn State's going to beat that number by a lot, I think. I think Penn State is absolutely going to drub Indiana this year for everything that happened last year. I think this Indiana team is not very good. We both picked Western Kentucky to win that game against Indiana last week, and they narrowly did.
Yeah, they only should have.
Yeah, like that was the game that I think Western Kentucky should have won. So I think that this is going to be one where Penn State cruises and absolutely puts up some style points on Indiana to make a statement.
I wholeheartedly agree on that one as well. If there's one coach in the Big Ten who plays to cover the spread and really keep the gas, the pedal down, it's James Franklin, and everything that happened last year with that game, I would expect this team to come out very fired up. So I agree with you. I think Penn State comes out and rolls an Indiana team that is hanging on at 2-2, but certainly reeling a little bit from where they've been at compared to last year.
All I would right. say this.
Oh, go ahead.
I will just say this. Wisconsin and Indiana this year are kind of like Spider-Man meme pointing at mm-hmm. each other, where they struggled in the games that they are supposed to you know, put up a good fight against the ranked team, and then been able to do whatever they needed to against the poor teams. So I think that you look at it, on paper, you'd think Indiana would be able to keep it a little closer, but I think when you look at the motivation for this, Penn State just has so much more to play for in this one.
Absolutely. All right, our next 6:30 slate, Northwestern traveling to Nebraska. Who do you like in that another gross Big Ten West contest?
I'll go with Nebraska. I mean, things haven't looked great for Nebraska, but they've kept – you look at their schedule. They beat Fordham well. They beat Buffalo well. Hung tight with Illinois, OU, and Michigan State. So I think that this is a – Nebraska defense that will keep them into it, and I think that Adrian Martinez will do just enough to get them a win at home.
Yeah, I just cannot side with this Northwestern team. I think they're all sorts of bad, and I've thought that throughout the entire season. I think this Nebraska defense has been really good. It's just a matter of, similar to Wisconsin, hanging on to the football. Adrian Martinez finds new ways to turn it over left and right. Him and Graham Mertz are kind of that Spider-Man meme so far this season, so I'll go with Nebraska at home to pull out a win against what I think is a fairly weak Northwestern team. All right, a non-conference game in the night slot as well. That same Western Kentucky team that played tough with Indiana traveling to take on Michigan State. Who do you like there?
Once again, I'm going to go with the Big Ten team here. I do think that Western Kentucky will be able to put up some points on Michigan State, but I do think that Michigan State will be able to do enough to get a W and pull away.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this one, once again, I think Western Kentucky is a team that will hang in maybe the number of 11 right now, but I do think Michigan State finds a way to, of course, pull this one out at the end. It'll be, I think, a good test for them going against Bailey Zappi and the Western Kentucky offense, because they can certainly put up some yards and some points, but it's just a matter of Michigan State, I think, eventually putting the clamps down and picking up a huge win. All right, guys, that wraps up our portion of the podcast. Stick with us now. We'll have a couple quick ad reads, and then we'll get into a little bit deeper look at the Michigan Wolverines with Anthony Broom. He came on and talked all things Wolverines, where they're at, the optimism or cautious optimism of the Wolverine fan base. So stick with us through a couple quick ad reads, and we'll be back with you shortly.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
All right, Badger fans, we are now joined by Anthony Broom over from Maize and Brew. Make sure to go check them out if you're looking for an insider look at the Michigan Wolverines. Of course, a big contest coming up this Saturday against Michigan. Anthony's been on our show a couple times now, it seems like, because we've played the last few since Matt and I have been doing the podcast, I think the last 3 years. So it's always good chatting with him about all things Michigan football. We were just chatting earlier. I know Wisconsin fans aren't super optimistic, and I know Michigan fans share a similar feeling about their fan or about their team throughout the season. So it should be fun to chat with him on everything in regards to this contest that should be an interesting one. We'll leave it at that. But I always like to talk with you about expectations, because I know Michigan football is one that sometimes they're feeling very good about their team. Sometimes it's down. I think coming into this season, it seemed like expectations were somewhat down after last year, but a 4-0 start may be trending back in the right direction, but I know some fans are probably cautiously moving about this. So what is the attitude toward Michigan football entering this this huge game in Camp Randall?
Yeah, well, I think heading into – and first of all, thanks for having me back. I feel like you and I speaking has been a little bit of a yearly tradition here.
Yep, for sure.
So thanks for having me. Apparently I'm good enough to be back on, so thank you for that. But, yeah, I think heading into the Rutgers game for Michigan, which was last week, I think a lot of people were more or less like feeling cautiously optimistic about what this team could do. You know, there have been concerns about, oh, they're running the ball too much. They're not throwing the ball enough. But when you're running the ball, and I know I'm speaking to someone who understands this here, when you're running the ball for 350 yards a game, you kind of just have to keep doing that, right? You don't stray away from what works. So, you know, despite that, they've had some decent showings passing. But, you know, I think lack of balance has been a little bit of a concern. And then last week, first half went pretty good for Michigan. Now, Rutgers, and this is something I said, you know, when I did the Rutgers podcast with Aaron Brightman last week, was this was the first opponent, given that it's Big Ten play, where you have to be ready for a rock fight or for the brass knuckles and lead pipes to come out. You're not going to push anyone around. And Rutgers, you know, to their credit, for most of that game, they took away the run and forced Michigan into the passing game. And in the first half, it looked great. The short passes, the RPO stuff, there were a couple throws that went awry here and there, which would wind up making a difference later on in the game. But I think the second half of Saturday's game has Michigan fans going from, again, cautiously optimistic that they can exercise this 20-year demon that is not being able to win at Camp Randall Stadium to, holy crap, we play like this Saturday. It doesn't matter what Wisconsin's record is. Like, we're going to get punched in the mouth. So it's this really weird, like I said before you pressed record, despite the fact that Wisconsin has struggled out of the gate and your guys' offense hasn't looked great, there's still like – it seems like both fan base is under the impression that they're going to get smacked around on Saturday. So it's a really interesting dynamic at the moment.
I think that's a great way to put it. Yeah, it's right now it just feels like this game is you know, sandwiched in between a weird spot for Wisconsin as they're trying to move forward and like trying to get to some things right, but another tough opponent coming into Camp Randall. So I totally hear what you're saying in that regard. You mentioned at the running game, 4-0 record, largely been because of that dominating run game. A 1-2 punch between Blake Corum, Hassan Haskins, the Badger fans might be familiar with him. So how good has that duo been, and is a good chunk of that success due to an offensive line that seems to be coming on really strong after last year having some struggles up front?
I mean, it starts with the offensive line for them. I think last year, and part of the reason that I think their offensive line was so poor last year is that, and I feel like the coaching staff even said this at a certain point in the season, is that due to COVID, their starting offensive line wasn't even practicing together during the week. They weren't in meetings together during the week. They'd be in split squads, so if someone got infected, it wouldn't wipe out the entire group. So for a lot of those guys, seemingly when you took the field on Saturday, that was the first time they'd been on the field with each other all week. And if we know anything about offensive lines, and I know Wisconsin fans do, chemistry is almost more important than the individual talent that each guy has. And what Michigan did this offseason was, it didn't seem like the communication was that great last year. So Ed Warner doesn't get retained. They slide Sherron Moore from tight ends down to offensive line, which he was a former college offensive lineman. He blocked for Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma. So a guy who knows the position, he cut his teeth in the coaching game, coaching the tight ends, but it wasn't really a big transition for them. And kind of the mentality for them this offseason has been, listen, anything we do offensively has to start with us up front. And it helped to have a spring football, which nobody had last year. It helped to have a training camp that was not truncated or started and then stopped and started again because of COVID. So I think this improved communication and really improved repetition from last year has done wonders for them. And they've got some really good guys, set the tone type of guys in that room as well. So, I mean, for me, it all starts with the offensive line. Now, pass protection wise, I think those guys still need some work, but they haven't passed the ball a ton because they haven't had to. And it's this weird thing too, where like there is a knowledge among the Michigan fan base, and even beyond that, people who look at what Jim Harbaugh's Michigan is right now, like it's a program that, fair or not, is always going to be put up against what Ohio State does. And if Michigan is going to be the type of team that competes with Ohio State, you just can't do the bully ball stuff all the time. So I think a lot of people are cognizant of the fact that eventually this they're going to have to be a little more explosive through the air offensively. But it's this weird juxtaposition of that plus Jim Harbaugh's pay was cut in half this offseason. And in order for him to get back what he was making, they have to win a lot of football games. And right now, I think what you're seeing with them is kind of a back-to-basics approach. They're trying to, you know, they said all offseason, we're going to get back to what we do well, which is play well in the trenches and run the football. And they've done a really good job with that. And I think from there, the job on it's incumbent upon them to peel back layers of the offense, because guess what? We both know Wisconsin's going to load the box on Saturday, and you're going to have to make some throws here and there. So it's just this, they're in this really weird spot as a program where they need to stack up as many wins as they can, like getting to 8-9, whatever that threshold is for this year, like 8 or 9 wins is a must. It has to happen. But then when you compare it to the previous 6 seasons of the Jim Harbaugh era, that's kind of what – they've been a 10-win team a couple times, but they've kind of topped out at that 8 or 9 range, and that hasn't been good enough. So it's like weighing what could be a good foundation for next year, and Michigan fans are so tired of the wait till next year stuff versus, you know, winning as many games as you can win right now. So, again, it's it all starts up front with them. And that's, I mean, so far, so good. I mean, they got pushed around a little bit on Saturday, but I feel like even good teams have at least one or two games like that every year. So it's impossible to know what that looks like until they play more football games. We need more data, I guess.
It's a great way to put it, and I like what you mentioned about the offensive line cohesion. I know Wisconsin is – a lot of fans are scratching their head right now with the some of the rotation that the Badgers have had up front. So it's, I think that part is a huge benefit. But the other part of the offense is, of course, quarterback, which is a hot conversation here, especially in Madison. But over at Michigan, it's been Cade McNamara, and he's been, I would say, really good so far in his play. I know that you guys, like you mentioned, they haven't had to throw it a ton, but completing 62% of his passes, and the big thing that Wisconsin fans would salivate over is zero turnovers. Michigan's, I believe, the only team in the country to not have an offensive turnover quite yet. So Badger fans would probably trade for that in a heartbeat, because if they had that, you know, you're looking at probably a 3-0 start going into this game against a 4-0 Michigan team. So how has Cade McNamara looked? What more do you want to see from him? And has his play kind of quieted the little crowd that's calling for, of course, 5-star quarterback J.J. McCarthy behind him?
Well, it hasn't quieted anything. J.J. came out in the first game and threw one of the most impressive, like, again, it's garbage time, and they were playing Western Michigan, so who's a good MAC team, but again, it's a MAC team. Had a pretty impressive throw that kind of has everyone going, oh my God, this kid's for real. But obviously, you know, there's still work to be done there. But Cade McNamara, I think what he's done, again, I think he's done the two things that this Michigan staff, and it's not necessarily how I feel about how to judge the position, but how they feel about it, is he's done the two things that they value most, is that, one, they're winning football games. They're 4-0. And two, like you said, he hasn't turned over the football. Now, for me, when you look at what this Michigan offense wants to be when it does throw the ball, if you're going to be, you know, you go through his passing attempts, 11, 15, 11, 16. So he's, like, at most so far thrown 16 passes in a game. And when you do that, when you throw so little, your margin of error is that much less as well. And what we've seen with him so far is that, you know, namely in, it's been like an every other game thing. Like the first game, he goes 9 for 11. Third game, he goes 8 for 11. Against Washington, he goes 7 for 15. Against Rutgers, he goes 9 for 16. And I think what I've seen there is just a little bit late with reads, just a little bit off on timing. Not super far off with accuracy, but a couple balls that have kind of sailed on him. And, you know, for him, for Michigan's offense, what they want to be when things are humming is, you know, a quick strike type of West Coast, you know, we're talking slants and screens and that type of offense. And when you just have to make some of those throws. And his completion percentage right now, again, small sample size, a couple weird stat lines in there so far. He's completed about 62% of his throws. In this offense, Michigan probably needs him to be somewhere around, like, at the very least, maybe 67, 68%. If it's really humming along, you're looking at probably, like, in a 70% range. So, it's just, for him, it's just a matter of – and I think it's been a positive with him even since he comes in. His first extended look was the garbage time of that Wisconsin game last year. He comes in, he leads a couple good drives, and then does the same thing against Rutgers, leads a comeback win, gets hurt against Penn State. But what we've seen from him is that, one, he's fairly poised. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He's good at running an offense. And obviously last week's second half throws this off a bit, but if you chart all the drives that he's had since becoming, he wasn't officially the starter until the last game of the year that Michigan would play last year, and it was only a half of football because he got injured anyways. But if you go back and you chart these drives, I feel like well over 50% of the drives he's been in the game for have either ended in touchdowns or points of some kind. Like, he's done a really good job just running the offense and giving and taking what he sees. Now, he could take some more chances down the field. I feel like he's missed a few, but I don't think he's far off. It's not like last year where Michigan had Joe Milton and, there's a guy open down the field and he's launching the ball to the golf course across the street from the stadium. It feels like he's close. And I know that's frustrating for Michigan fans to hear, but the only way you get better is with more reps. And I know people are feeling uneasy, and I'm certainly in a camp where I'm not sure what things will look like on Saturday, but you have all these concerns and you go into one of the toughest environments in the Big Ten, let alone all of college football. I get why people are concerned, but you also, I don't think they're quite ready to throw a true freshman into that environment either. So here we go. It's Cade McNamara at Wisconsin on Saturday.
Yeah, it should be an interesting test for sure. I know it's the first road game for Michigan this season. Of course, he played in that familiar environment against the Badgers. So it's it makes a ton of sense to be, again, I think the term that we keep throwing around or getting close to is cautiously optimistic, and I could see that situation for a lot of different levels in this game. Flipping to the defense now, been pretty good across the board from at least everything that I've seen with Michigan, but the big story is, of course, Aiden Hutchinson, who last year, I think he only played in a couple games, right, because of injury?
Yeah, I believe he played in maybe two games last year.
Yes. I thought he was a little bit banged up. I couldn't remember what the injury was. But how big is it to have him back? Because I know last year the getting the pressure on the quarterback, that kind of slowed the entire defense down a little bit. The secondary, it seemed like in that Wisconsin game, the guys were just trying to stay in coverage forever. So how big is it to have that force back on the defensive line to kind of lead that unit once again?
I mean, it's everything to them right now. I mean, he is the motor. He's the straw that stirs the drink for that defense. The injury was rough. I think a lot of people thought that after he got injured, it's like, well, he's not coming back to risk his health for another Michigan season. But he did. He came back. Not that he ever wasn't in shape, but the video of some of his workouts are insane, where he's lifting barbells with one arm, and it's just, he's a total freak, and he looks every bit the, like a, maybe a first round pick. I think maybe if the draft were today, he would be. We'll see what the process is like for him, but I think what's helped with him too is that, Michigan has installed this Baltimore Ravens type of defense where they're playing primarily out of two and three man fronts. Aiden Hutchinson slimmed down a little bit to 260. He's in that 265 range, and he's kind of, he's been rushing from a linebacker position. He's been dropping into coverage. He's been, he has put his hand in the dirt and rushed from the defensive line. So his versatility has been on display too, and he's taken that to heart. He's taken the leadership role to heart, and he got his body right. He's healthy. He's playing really well. And like I said, he wants it all. He wants to win. He wants to be drafted high. There's a palpable energy with him through the rest of that defense. And honestly, Daxton Hill's a guy on that back end who is extremely talented as well. But you pull Aiden Hutchinson off this defense, and I think it's kind of a chain reaction that affects each level of the defense. So, he is playing the best football he's played so far. And I know the sack numbers, it's not something that would always scream, oh, my God, this guy's an elite pass rusher, but he is always in the backfield. And, it's actually surprising when he's not in the backfield is how well he's played so far this year. So it's been so fun to watch him develop and, you know, just kind of blossom into the player he's become. I think he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him.
Yeah, he looks like, in the glimpses that I've seen, he looks like a force to be reckoned with over there. And I'm glad you mentioned it looks like he's in shape, because I saw a couple pictures and videos as well, and I was like, man, he looks cut and ready and hungry for this grueling Big Ten season. So, like you mentioned, the straw that stirs the drink is certainly a good analogy for him. You also mentioned Daxton Hill, which is another phenomenal player for Michigan in the secondary. Who are some other names that Badger fans should be aware of defensively? Because I think Wisconsin fans feel good about what their defense is going to do, but the main concern is, man, how are we going to try and survive and weather the storm against a strong, you know, top-to-bottom Michigan defense?
Yeah, I mean, it starts, again, we've talked about how it starts up front. I think another guy who's played really well for them, he's in his junior season now, is Mozzie Smith, who's kind of been manning down the, manning down the down lineman in terms of what his role has been. It's another guy who you're not going to, you know, when you're in this two and three man front type of defense, the numbers are never going to pop off the page or look sexy, but what he does just opens things up for everyone else, and he's playing the best football of his career right now. Josh Ross, that linebacker, talk about another guy who stirs the drink. As a captain, he actually was injured for most of last week's game, and when he wasn't on the field, Rutgers was giving Michigan a hell of a scare, so that's another guy who, and it looks like he'll be back on the field for Saturday. That's not a big concern right now. You know, he's playing the best football of his career. From there, again, talked about Daxton Hill. Secondary, to me, is probably, like, that's probably, when I look at this game, the position group that has the chance to turn this game the most in either direction. You know, Wisconsin got pretty much whatever they wanted against Michigan last year, and I still think the defensive back position is still probably my biggest I think they're the most talent deficient there. I'm trying to be nice about it, but you know, they don't force a ton of turnovers, and Wisconsin and Graham Mertz have turned the ball over a lot this year. So who's going to win that matchup? I mean, if Michigan can't get to the quarterback and take advantage of a quarterback who's kind of just closing his eyes and throwing the football right now, that's going to be a problem for them. Now, it's always, whenever Michigan goes on the road, I feel like I've seen it before where they've had units with Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich and Devin Bush on one team, and then you just get off the bus and you've got that deer in the headlights look. So for me, when I look at this Michigan defense, is how are you going to play when you're not feeding off that energy from the crowd? Now, they'll tell you they can communicate better, but we'll see what happens. Again, it's so weird to say that a month into this Michigan season, four weeks into it, there's not a lot outside of them being able to run the ball as well as they have, and this new defense kind of coming together, I think, a little more quickly than I thought it would. They're still not elite by any stretch, but I thought there would be a few more growing pains early on, and there certainly could be Saturday. I mean, this is a Michigan team that made Rocky Lombardi at Michigan State look like Pat Mahomes last year. So there's still kind of that, again, cautious optimism, and there's like an unknown, like what is this team actually? So it's just crazy. Like, this is going to be the game where we finally, as Michigan fans, get the type of answers that, you know, are either confirmed or denied, or reset what the expectations are moving forward.
All right, to round this out, I'll ask you, because I think we've got a good kind of an idea of where your expectations are. So what's the kind of the thing that you'll really be watching for? What are your feelings about the game? And if you are willing to give us a score prediction for this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be watching for, I think I kind of hit on this, I want to see Michigan pass the ball with some modicum of success and at least make Wisconsin respect that. Like, that's going to be a huge key to this game, is getting Wisconsin to respect what Michigan has through the air, because I don't know if anyone really has so far. But Michigan says they'll be ready for it. They say they're ready to peel, you know, they know they'll have to be a little more balanced and peel things back. So we'll see about that. On the defensive side of the ball, I think I just kind of hit on it. Like, are you going to you know, regardless of how you guys feel about Wisconsin, like, we still know that there are talented players on that offense, and it's struggled. But, you know, you're at home. One bad play here and there can turn the tide of a football game. Like, I said this earlier too. Each fan base is coming into it thinking they're going to lose by multiple touchdowns. I think this game will be much closer than that. I think this will be probably another one of those classic Big Ten type of bar fight games. But for me personally, I have to, because Michigan has struggled so often on the road, especially in these tough environments. Now, a lot of times it comes against ranked teams. Wisconsin isn't that right now, but they were heading into the year, and we know, like, if nothing else, Wisconsin is a known commodity in terms of the type of game you're going to get yourself into, the type of things you're going to see on offense and defense. And also, like, we know that Wisconsin is the type of defense first of all, they're still elite, and second of all, those guys like to bring pressure from all over the place. So that and the noise, how's that going to overwhelm Michigan? I don't know. I have to give, and I'll be the bad guy. It's fine. I have to give Wisconsin the edge here. It'd probably be by a field goal, giving them the home field advantage. But I don't know. Give me like a 23-20 type of game. That feels accurate. That feels like it could be right. I hope if Michigan loses, it's like that. If they lose and it's like it has been the last couple times, it's going to make my job a lot more difficult to try and sell some sort of hope for the rest of the year. So I'm not ready for rage clicks yet, but I do think that this will be a very tight Wisconsin win.
Yeah, it's. I think you put it well there. I think Wisconsin fans would sign up for 23 points and probably feel great about if they can get to that point, to feel good about the game, but it's just a matter of getting there. But either way, it'll be a very interesting matchup, and I'm going to guess at the end of it, one fan base will be either unhappy either way, depending on who comes out the loser. But that's why you play the game. It should be a fun one. I expect kind of the same thing, that bar fight. Seems to be a fight that Wisconsin likes to have, or at least from what we've seen so far this season. I wouldn't expect anything different. But, Anthony, as always, great talking to you. Thank you for joining us. We always love having you on it and talking to Michigan football. I don't know if Michigan and Wisconsin play again next year, or is this the last time?
I think this is the last time for a bit.
I think it is, too. Yeah, I think going forward, I think the Badgers have that lovely team from up in Ohio the next few years, so that should be fun.
Well, which I'll say for both of our sake, thank God. I think we're all ready to see something different, right?
There you go. Well, always good talking to you. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Of course, you guys too.
All right, Badger fans, that wraps up another episode of the podcast. We'll be back with you next week on Wisconsin. Thank you.